Okay, right. Good morning. It's lovely. It's lovely to be here with you this morning. So our call to worship comes from Psalm 96. Give to the Lord. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. Tell all the nations the Lord reigns. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. He will judge all peoples fairly. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with his truth. O Lord, our God, how great thou art. Let us sing our praises to our Lord and Creator, acknowledging God's majestic rule over the whole world, the beauty of nature, the sacrifice that Jesus made, and that promise that he will come again. So as we sing, O Lord my God, let us in awesome wonder consider all the works his hand has made. And after that, we will sing the splendor of the King. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Are we now going to sing Splendor of the King?
Yes.
Okay. So please, if you want to, please do stand. If you'd rather stay sitting, please stay sitting. But we're going to sing the Splendor of the King. Let's pray. So Lord God, Almighty Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our glorious Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, our souls sing with wonder and love and joy just knowing you, Lord. You are worthy of all our praise. Thank you, Lord, that we are free to gather in this place to worship you. We come before you as a church family united in Christ to worship and praise you, our Lord and our God, to thank you and praise you for all that you have done for us, for the wonder and beauty of creation, for your extraordinary, ever faithful, everlasting love, for the amazing sacrifice that your Son made when he went to the cross to pay for our sins, and for the promise that he will come again. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and open our hearts to receive the message that you have for each of us today. As we worship you together, may we draw closer to you. May we yearn to know you more, and may we experience you in new and exciting ways. We pray in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all other names. Amen. Okay, we will now take up the offering for the work of God in this church, and this is for members and regular attenders who don't give directly through the bank. So if you wish to contribute to the work of God in this church, then I believe we're taking up the offering. Hold them while I pray.
Yeah. Oh,
you are. There we go. So, Lord, we thank you for all that we have. You are our great provider, and all that we have that is good comes from you, Lord, and we thank you for it. And Lord, as a token of our gratitude, we bring this monetary offering to you. Lord, bless it and help the leadership at Kerry to use it wisely to further your kingdom here in this neighbourhood. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Now I have no idea what I'm supposed to do with these. So shall I put them here? There we go. Okay, so what do I need to do now? I need to push a button on here. There we go, something's happening. I've got whirligig of life. Always a good sign. Ah, there we go. Right, going to a game of connections. That's what I'm calling it. Has anybody seen the program or know the program Only Connect? Ah, yes. So you will understand then what we're doing. So, well, some of you will. But what you do need to know is it's not going to be as hard as Only Connect, okay? So the idea is that I'm going to give you four pictures. They're going to come up one at a time. And after each picture, you have to work out slash guess what the connection is between all four pictures. But you're only going to get them one at a time. So our first picture is of a holiday. So what do you think the four pictures might have in common if the first one is a holiday? Yes, it is a literal guess. I am acknowledging that. Okay, I'm not going to say whether you're right or wrong until the end. We've got water. Sea.
Resting.
Any other suggestions of what holiday? Relaxing, yeah.
Travel.
Should we go? Oh, yes.
Sunbathing.
We're going to have another picture now. This is representing a wedding. So how could a holiday and a wedding be connected? What could be the connection? What could they have in common? Expensive is one. They would definitely both are expensive. Family. Honeymoon, yeah.
Enjoyment,
celebration. Anything else? Do come on in. Right, let's move on to the next one then to see if it still fits with any of those. Moving house. Well, expensive still fits.
Special moment.
What was that, stressful?
Yeah.
Changes? Anything else? Shall we go on to our final picture? Exams. Ha, no, that's not expensive. Stress. I love that we all think a holiday is stressful. Having just come back from one, packing and unpacking very much is. Anything else? Okay, I shall go for the answer. The answer is that they all require planning and preparation to be ready for the big day. So, a holiday, you've got to plan where you're going to go, how you're going to get there, what you're going to take, what you're going to do about your pets. For a wedding, well, they can be years in the planning. Anybody who's gone through or had a child go through a wedding knows all about the angst and the stress and the expense that comes with planning a wedding. Moving house, obviously, getting the house ready to just go on the market, choosing a estate agent, packing boxes, getting the removal van, all of that has to be in place for the big day. And then finally, exams. Years of study, months of revision, and you have your hour and a half, 2 hour exam at the end of it. But there's lots of things that we do in life that require us to prepare, to be ready for. It can be fun things like a birthday party or going on a day trip, packing up all the things you need, doing all the invitations for birthday parties. It can be a scary thing like your first day at school or getting ready just for the new term, the new school year. It can be serious things like going for a job interview. It could be simple things like cooking a meal. If you want to have it on the table at a particular time, you have to do all the preparation, have all the food in, and be ready for when the time that you want. So if you're going to be ready, if you're not going to miss the deadline, then you have to be on top of things. You have to recognize what needs to be done and make sure that it happens in good time. The Bible passage that we're looking at today is the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. They all had their lamps ready for the wedding parade, but only 5 of them were well prepared and were ready when the groom arrived. The other 5 hadn't brought enough oil and had to go off and get some. And as a consequence, they weren't ready at the critical time. So before we have, we're going to sing, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning." And why not, as we're doing this parable? So, oh, I have to do something before we can sing. There we go.
And if you want to, then you don't.
Thank you.
going to have our reading now, and it's coming from the New Living Translation, which I believe you don't normally have here. It's my preferred translation because I find it easier to read, and it's easier on the ear for people who aren't familiar with the Bible, but also for those of us who are very familiar with a particular version. To hear it in another version, sometimes you just hear things that you don't normally hear. So my apologies that you're getting it from a different translation. I hope it sits well with you. Paul, thank you.
Two readings, both about the coming of Jesus and preparing for his kingdom. And the first reading is from Matthew 24, verses 36 to 41. However, no one knows the hour or the day when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time when Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. And now on to chapter 25, the parable of the bridesmaids. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. And when the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, "Look, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone out to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return." Just ask God to help us understand those words from that parable.
Thank you. Right, so I'm just back from a holiday I'm from Belfast, so we were over visiting my family. And my daughter came with us and one of my stepsons. And we had to get back on Friday. Not solely for this, but obviously because I was coming here, but we had to come back on Friday for my daughter, to be back in time for her wedding anniversary, because yesterday was her second wedding anniversary, and her husband hadn't come with us because he had work. But this is Becca and her husband Aaron on their wedding day 2 years ago. And this is, I thought I'd just show you, her bridesmaids. As we're talking about bridesmaids today, she had four, which when we were buying the dresses, I thought was plenty. But today there's 10 bridesmaids in our story. Now, the passages that Paul read to us today come from what is known as the Olivet Discourse. That's Matthew's 24 and 25. And basically it was Jesus's teaching of end times on the Mount of Olives. when he was there with his disciples. So the parable that we are looking at this morning teaches us some important points about Jesus' return. The 10 virgins, or the 10 bridesmaids, depending on the translation you are reading, were young women who attended the bride during the wedding celebrations. The Greek word that is used there is understood as maiden or unmarried daughter. Now, the New Testament Jewish marriage was different to what we have today. For a start, it was the groom's father who would select an appropriate girl. And if both sides were in agreement, then a commitment was made. So marriage was seen as a commitment, and the love then grew out of that commitment over time, whereas today we would fall in love and then make the commitment and then get married. So this agreement, this commitment, was followed by a legal betrothal, which meant that they were essentially married, but they didn't yet live together. Instead, the groom went off to prepare a place for them to live. And this could take up to a year. When the father of the groom declared that everything was in place, everything was ready, the wedding feast had been prepared, then the groom was sent to get his bride. The bride didn't know exactly when he would arrive, but she needed to be ready when his arrival was announced. I expect the bride at least knew the day, perhaps, but not necessarily the time. So the groom would go and he'd collect his bride from her father's house and take her on a parade, usually at night, through the town to the groom's house for a week-long wedding feast and celebration. The bride's attendants would light the way through the town, holding up their torches. And it is this part of the marriage ceremony that Jesus compares to the kingdom of heaven in verse 1, when he says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom." So the groom is on his way, and the bridesmaids are ready with their lamps. And we note that the 10 bridesmaids took their lamps, not the lamps, but their lamps, indicating that they have some responsibility for the lamps that they are carrying. Now, some will suggest that the lamps are oil-filled containers with a wick, like those that are on the screen, while others will say that those would actually have blown out. Those were indoor lights, and they would have blown out easily with a little draft, and so they were actually carrying torches, where an oil-soaked material was wrapped around the top of the handle, and that was designed for outdoor use, so it was more likely to be these. But I don't think it matters what they looked like. The key is that they needed to be lit to light the way for the bridegroom. So we have our bridesmaids, and they have their lights ready to go. However, verse 2 of Matthew 25, five of them were wise and five were foolish. So I wondered, what might Matthew mean by wise and foolish? And looking back at the parable of the wise and foolish builders earlier in the book of Matthew, Jesus says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish." So there, we have our definition of what it is to be wise. Knowing Jesus' teachings, listening to them, taking them on board and living by them. Whereas a foolish person may hear, but they don't listen. They think they don't need to. They rely on their own understanding and knowledge. Now, the foolish women didn't take extra oil, and while the other five were wise enough to do so, because unfortunately the bridegroom was delayed, and he was delayed so much that they fell asleep. So in this parable, the bridegroom represents Jesus, and his arrival speaks of Jesus's return, the second coming. Therefore, the bridegroom's delay tells us that Jesus' return will be delayed. It will happen when it happens, and all we can do is be ready in case it happens in our lifetime. And with all that is going on in the world, there is a lot of talk at the moment of the second coming being 2060, I heard from one, but being sometime soon. But I will point out that every generation from the disciples to today have thought Jesus will return in their generation. So all we can do is be ready, just in case. The foolish bridesmaids weren't expecting a delay, and consequently, they weren't prepared for it. When they heard the call telling them it was time, they suddenly realized they no longer had enough oil. Wise bridesmaids couldn't share theirs, as there wasn't enough for everyone, and there was no way they could risk their lights going out. Mid-parade, that wouldn't be a thing to be done at all. There would be shame upon the family if that had happened. So we look back at our definitions of wise and foolish. The wise are those who listen to Jesus' teaching and obey. Foolish are those who hear Jesus' teaching but ignore it. For us today, the wise bridesmaids represent true followers of Christ, Christians with a strong faith who read their Bible and apply Jesus' teaching to their own lives. The five foolish women look like the other bridesmaids. They are carrying the same equipment as the other bridesmaids, but they don't take it seriously enough. They didn't take it seriously enough to do what they needed to do to be prepared. In today's context, they represent people who come to church, who call themselves Christians, who carry their Bibles, but they aren't taking it seriously. They don't have a true relationship with Jesus. They can also represent anyone who hasn't yet accepted Jesus as their Saviour, who hasn't yet made a commitment. While the unprepared bridesmaids were away getting oil, the bridegroom appeared, and everyone who was ready went in to the wedding feast, and the door was locked. In the time of Noah, everyone was going about their own business. They were ignoring the warning that Noah must have been giving him, the warning that was coming up, growing before their eyes in the form of the ark. They were enjoying their banquets and their parties and their weddings. And then the rain started. Noah and his family went into the ark, and bang, the door was closed and locked. Those who weren't ready for the flood were left outside. They weren't prepared, and there wasn't time to do anything about it. Jesus will return, and bang, the door is closed. So are you in or are you out? When the bridesmaids return to knock on the door, they call, "Lord, Lord, open the door." The bridegroom responds, "Believe me, I don't know you." To get more clarity on this, we go back again to Matthew 7 and the verses leading up to the story about the wise and foolish builders. And Jesus says in verse 21, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord,' but I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" So I wonder, do you do the will of our Father in heaven? Are you ready? If Jesus came back this afternoon, if this was your last day on earth, are you ready? So what does it mean to be ready? Well, firstly, you need to make a commitment. You need to be saved. You need to believe in your heart that Jesus died for you and accept Jesus as your Saviour, to trust God's promise of eternal life. And if you haven't already taken this step, then I urge you to take it now. If you've been coming to church all your life, believe in God, believe in Jesus even, but haven't actually taken the step of inviting Jesus into your life, of making that commitment to live for him, then do it now. As the bridesmaids were responsible for their own lamp and their own supply of oil, so we are all responsible for our own salvation. Secondly, in response to God's saving grace, grow in your spiritual life. Don't be content with where you're at in your Christian walk. We are all on a journey, and as it is a journey, we should be moving forward on that journey, not standing still. So pray to grow in your faith, to grow closer to Jesus, to grow more like Jesus, to experience God in different ways, to be wise. Read your Bible, learn more about Jesus' teaching, and apply them to your life. Get excited about being a Christian. Commit each day to God. Allow the Holy Spirit to change you, to guide you, and to prompt you. And be prepared to take the light of Jesus into the world around you. And I come to the third point. In response to God's goodness, use the talents and gifts that he has given you, whatever they might be, to serve God, to serve the church, to serve where the Lord has put you, and to do the will of the Father in whatever way he calls you to serve. So how is God calling Carey Baptist Church to serve him? What mission does he have for you in this neighborhood, or is he taking you somewhere else to a different mission field? How are you personally and as a church fulfilling God's commission to his disciples, namely to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Teach them to be wise. So what is God's vision for how you reach, make, and baptize new disciples? How do you prepare people for Jesus' return? It's not just about us as individuals preparing ourselves, but we have a responsibility to prepare those around us so that they are also ready for that day. What is God doing in this neighborhood that you can get on board with? We don't know when Jesus is coming back. All we can do is be ready. Be serious about our faith. Live in a way that is pleasing and honoring to God. Live according to Jesus' teaching and continue his mission on earth to tell people about the kingdom. So don't leave it too late. When the day comes, the door closes. There is no time to go for oil. We all need to be ready. And no one knows the day. So don't get caught out. Don't leave it too late. Be ready. And be ready to take the light of Jesus wherever you go. Let's just take a moment. Just wait on the Lord. What is he putting on your heart? What is it that you need to take home today? Lord, it is only through your grace and mercy that we have the hope of eternal life. We believe in Jesus Christ and accept him as our Savior. We state our commitment to following and obeying your commands and submit to your will over our lives. Help us to grow spiritually, to grow more like Jesus, and to live a life that is honouring to you. Lord, in all we do, may all glory go to you. Show us where we are going wrong, what actions and attitudes we need to change. And give us opportunities to help others to be ready, to tell people about you, to shine the light of Jesus into the lives of those who are living in the dark. Oh Lord, give us a spiritual sensitivity to know when the Spirit is prompting us to step up, to speak the name of Jesus, to speak about our faith, to share your love in some way. And Lord, when that time is right to speak, give us the words and the courage to speak up. Lord, we give ourselves to you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. We're now going to sing again, and we're going to sing Shine, Jesus, Shine. Remind us that we are taking our light, the light of Jesus, we are taking into the world wherever we go. So shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory.
Thank you.
you. Right, we now come to our prayers of intercession. Heavenly Father, you promise through your Son, Jesus Christ, that when we meet in his name and pray according to his mind, he will be among us and hear our prayers. Thank you that you don't just hear our prayers, but you answer them as well. Most merciful Father, we thank you for all the prayers that you have answered this week. And Lord, we're sorry that we don't always recognize the things that you do for us each day. Sorry for all the times that we forget to thank you when you answer our prayers. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being able to pray for other people, to come to you to intercede on their behalf. So majestic Lord God, we humble ourselves as we come before your throne. In your grace and mercy, hear our prayers. So Lord God, Almighty Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, empower us and the Christians of this town and nation. Give us grace to proclaim the gospel joyfully and freely, not only by word, but in all we do and say, and especially by the way in which we live our lives. Give us the courage and strength to stand up for biblical truths and to speak out where there is injustice. And Lord, we thank you for all our Christian MPs. This morning we particularly lift Danny Kruger and Nick Timothy and others who have spoken in Parliament to defend Christians and Christian values in this country. Protect them, Lord, and give them the strength, the courage, and the words to speak. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we pray for Christians around the world, particularly for those who are persecuted because of their faith. Lord, protect them and strengthen them, and give wisdom and guidance to all individuals and organisations that seek to help them. Lord, be present in all places where there is suffering, violence, or pain. Lord, we especially pray for those who are living through war or oppression, and the many who are forced to leave their homes to seek refuge elsewhere. And be, Lord, be with those who are trying to bring peace in areas of warfare and terrorism, and for the relief agencies trying so hard to bring food and medicine to those who are suffering. In the quiet of our hearts, we name specific countries and situations before you now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Holy God, we pray for our local community here in Kettering. Please show us how, as a church and as individuals, we can best serve people who are struggling in the community around us. Lead us and prompt us to share the gospel message of salvation and help us to reach the lost. Show each one of us the part that we can play in serving you. Thank you for all the people and the organisations in Kettering who seek to help folk who are in need. We think of those who feed the hungry, heal the sick, befriend the lonely, give clothing to people who need them, help addicts and people with mental health issues, and all who come alongside people in their times of trouble. In the quiet of our hearts, we name specific organisations that come to mind. Lord, may they know your provision and guidance. In your mercy, hear our prayer. God of healing, we pray for those who are afflicted by physical, emotional, or mental illness. Help them to keep their eyes fixed on you and give them the courage to face the problems affecting their daily lives. Lord, we pray for those who are grieving, who are ill, who are awaiting doctor's appointments, for all who need to know you this day. In the quiet of our hearts, Lord, we name some of those people who need to know your healing power. Comfort and heal all those mentioned so that they may be aware of your presence with them this day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray for all our friends and family who don't yet know you as their Redeemer and Saviour. Lord, open their eyes to see your light. Soften their hearts to receive your love and compassion. Lord, we bring them to you. We name them in the quiet of our hearts before you now. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of eternal life for all who put their trust in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Faithful God, we ask you to draw near to us, strengthen our faith, deepen our love for you and our love for our neighbours, and open our eyes to recognise and acknowledge all that you do for us. Heavenly Father, thank you that you hear our prayers. We lift our prayers to you in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, we will now close our time of worship by singing Hear the Call of the Kingdom. So, as we sing this, let us answer the call of the kingdom to bring hope to the world, proclaiming salvation in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thessalonians 5, verse 23, may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus comes again. And may the light of Jesus shine in you and through you this week. So go in the grace of God to love and serve the Lord. Amen.